Hi, this is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 135, for Tuesday, August 9th, 2016, and this is day 6 of the 2016 Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. And yes, that does mean that I am still not back into my buffer zone where I've, like, gotten a day ahead, but hey, I'm not worrying about that. Well, I am going to worry about it, not worry about it. But this will probably be, unless I just continue to navel gaze, the last episode where I talk about it. It'll just happen. You'll be able to tell it by the day, by the recording date that I talk about. But we're doing the dog days. We're cranking through 30 days of these things. It is what it is. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I think I'll be fine. And here we go. But it's all as well. And so I was prepping. I had a whole, basically a page of notes for that I will be using as soon as possible for this episode when I was running at noon today, which don't run at noon in North Carolina, South Carolina, Piedmont, anywhere in the Southeast, it sucks. It was really, really hot. I mean, I've done it for years, and I've actually enjoyed running at noon in the years, but I'm getting on in age. I'm 49, close to 50, I'm like 49 and a third at this point. I'm starting to be able to tell that running in the heat sucks. I still do it, but it sucks. I am so glad. Last year was the first year. It was really big, and I expect it's going to be the same thing this year when fall comes. It's got, like, when fall came last year, my average running rate in Runkeeper, I increased by like 40 seconds a mile just because it's like, it's hot as crap. And, I'm having a hard time, man. It's like, it's tough. Yeah, so I was running today and I was listening to a podcast and I decided to respond to it. So, here we go with that. And, oh, hold on just a second. I'm going to take a drink of this fine Foothills Hopium. Hold on. Fine Foothills Hopium. It's the fourth Foothills Hopium of the day. And you know what they say about that? That's the best Foothills Hopium of the day. So excellent. What happened is while I was running, I was listening to David Jacobs, another Dog Days podcaster on the Lavender Pony Show. And he was talking about his, like, history of technology, basically. Story. And I thought, and I think I've told part of this story before. I've certainly told it to many people before. I think I've even told it on this podcast before, but it might not have even been on Dog Days, because I've got like 40 or 50 that episodes of this podcast that were before Dog Days of Podcasting, so it might not have even been on here. So I decided, what the heck? It sounded like an interesting thing to discuss, so I thought I'd throw it in as an extra notion, and just kind of do the same thing that David did. Basically, I'm going to try and not going to go too long, too crazy. I mean, but just talk about how technology and computers, how I came to them. So I wrote things down. I looked a couple things up. I was trying to remember. So I remember, and I actually didn't look this up. I didn't really understand any way to do so. I believe I took a computer class. I believe when I moved. I moved around a lot as a kid. My dad, he didn't work for the military, but he worked for a company that moved us around. Like, we were in the military about every 4 years. And when we moved to North Carolina, so basically to where I am now, I mean, literally, like, so not not even in the sense of the state, but I literally live basically in the town that we lived in back then. I live one town over. I took a computer course at actually the local university. So I live in Wingate, North Carolina, and Wingate University had this summer class on computers, and I believe I was a rising freshman in high school. I want to say somewhere in there, maybe a little bit earlier in the, but I think I must've been a rising, because I think it was a summer course. And you went to this class at Wingate, and you get to work in the computer lab. And, you know, obviously that was like a mini computer sort of thing. I think weirdly enough, this is probably not typical of my peers. I think my actual very, very first interactions with a computer were a mini computer rather than like an Apple II or anything like that. They were mini computers. I only vaguely remember it. I do remember it was enthralling. It was super enthralling. And it got much more interesting later, but so not long after that. So my, I think it, based on my guess on the timeline, which I'm guessing at 19. So I've got a timeline of like computers and operating systems and stuff here. And some of them are guesses. Some of them I'm pretty sure of. But so my guess is around 1983. I had taken this class. I thought this stuff was really cool. And I got, I'm pretty sure I asked, I think for Christmas maybe, and got it. It was a Timex Sinclair 1000. I mean, oh my God. I think I had it with the, what was it, a 128K expansion pack or 64K or something like that. But I think I even had it without that, which it maybe had 16K memory or something. This, you know, plugged into your TV. You had, I don't even think it had, you know, like David Jacobs was talking about the whole loading programs from cassette tape, which I definitely remember, but I'm not even sure you could do that with a Timex Sinclair, or certainly I couldn't do it with a Timex Sinclair. Basically, I had to, it was like all non-volatile memory for me. Or no, rephrase. It was all volatile memory. So when I shut that thing off, programs were gone, because I had no way to store programs. So I would just have to type them in again every time. At the very beginning. This is at the start. I don't remember at what point I could. I don't know if I ever could with that Timex Sinclair record stuff onto tape or onto cassette tape or whatever. But it was fast. I still remember that to this day. Fast. It just, you know, it's the classic computer notion of like, you can make this thing do whatever you can tell it to do things, and it does whatever you tell it to do. I mean, as long as it is capable of doing it, it does it for you. And it's just this complex thing that you can control, and it's so fascinating. I didn't actually, I think, use it for a huge amount of time, but it was probably 6 or 9 months, but, I know I got the bug at that point. So not too long afterwards, cause that was right around the time that I went to, I ended up going to, North Carolina. It's like a state magnet school, the North Carolina School of Science and Math. And it's a 11th and 12th grade high school, like state magnet high school. It is the first of the state magnet schools, like Louisiana and Virginia and a whole bunch of Arkansas. I know a number of other states have schools, but basically North Carolina school is the in terms of state magnet schools, I believe is the original one. There are like Stuyvesant in New York City, which was a rival of ours, is a different sort of school. But in terms of that state magnet school notion that has kind of crossed the country since the mid 80s, School of Science and Math, North Carolina School of Science and Math is the kind of was the original notion school. And I was there pretty early. I was the third graduating class. And going there had several advantages. So I went there not too long after I got that time at Sinclair. And I believe going there, in the process of going there, I got a Commodore VIC-20. Which wasn't the Commodore PET that David Jones mentioned, but I think the VIC-20 was similar to the PET. The Commodore 64 that he also mentioned and that I never had, I skipped it to the 128. But the Commodore VIC-20 was kind of a lower end device. It was an upgraded version of the PET. I don't remember. But regardless, with science and math, I had several advantages. I had a roommate, and he had a Commodore 64. One of my best friends at the time, still know him. He had a Commodore 64, which was awesome. Plus, I'm on a hall. I'm living. So this is a residential high school, and it's a bunch of science and math nerds. So there were computers everywhere. There were Atari 400s. There were Commodore 64s. This is 83 to 85. So the computers that were available during that time period were everywhere. And the school itself also had computers. We had a number of Apple. That's when I started to learn the Apple. I played a bunch of games. The adventure game where you're like running down the halls and the dungeon. Gosh, I can't remember the name of that game. But played a ton of games and did a ton of other stuff on Apple IIe's at the time. We also had, I think it was a PDP 11. We had a mini computer, old school mini computer. And that was my first interaction with a like multi-user computer, computers where you had, like a multi-user operating system sort of thing going on. So at Science and Math, I learned a whole lot and had a whole lot of computer experiences. So went on from there. To college, and I think I took that VIC-20 with me to college. And not too long after that, because, and even at Science and Math, like I had done one of my senior projects. I'd done on a computer, and I did it on the IBM PC Junior, which David Jacobs also talked about, with the little chiclet keyboard. I remember that baby. It was awesome. And so that's around the time that I started getting more involved in IBM PC DOS versus the specialized, like the VIC-20 OS or the specialized OSs for anything like that. Apple was still around, obviously. I was using that a little bit. So at college, again, I went through the last couple of years of high school and most of college. I wasn't super concerned about personally owning a computer because between the school and people that I knew, there were lots of computers around. Once I was at college, it was my junior year, I think, that I started using Macs. I had a hallmate that had a Mac, and then we also had Macs in one of our computer labs at Duke. So we started using that, but I remember I used there was a Art of War, Yeah, there was a PC computer game called The Art of War that I played the hell out of on one of my roommate's IBM PCs. It's a good time. I wasn't too into it. My senior year, I ended up with I looked it up today, I'm pretty sure it was a Commodore 128, the next generation Commodore, and it ran the GEOS operating system, which actually ended up being, I think, ported to the Apple II series as well. So it was a very early age graphical operating system, but it was very primitive. I remember having that my senior year, though. But mostly I used, school computers and computers of, like, other people in the hall and stuff like that. That's the period that I started getting involved in BBSs. David was talking about, had a couple of friends on the hall that were pretty big into the Wares BBSs, where you could get, software and stuff like that. Some of them, it was everything from IBM PCs, Macs, Amigas. It was the whole gamut of computers. So it's all interesting stuff. So I moved from that. So I think I got that Commodore 128 in 1988. I think I had that for a couple of years. I remember, for example, I think in 1989 or maybe, I think it was 1989, I got the game. There was a game based, it was called Neuromancer. It was based on, I'm almost positive it was based on the, I know it was based on the book Neuromancer by William Gibson. I think the game was named Neuromancer. I need to look that up and track that down, because I still remember playing that game in the apartment that I lived in the summer and fall of 89. Right after I graduated from Duke. That was cool. And I'm almost positive that was on the Commodore 128. I was also doing a lot of bulletin board stuff at that time. So I had that computer for a little while. And I think I finally made the move to the Intel. And it was to Microsoft DOS. I believe that was in about 1991. I lived in Baltimore at the time. A lot of stuff had gone on in my life. I remember spending a lot of time with, I should look this up. It was a huge, fat, it was CompU something. Oh, I used to love this. It was a magazine. It was a gigantic magazine. It was like half ads, but it was like 400 pages an issue. So even though it was like 300 pages of ads or 200 pages of ads, it was still like 100 or 200 pages of articles and stuff. It was a great magazine. I don't remember the name of it, but it had a lot of good deals on computers and stuff. So I ended up buying a 3D. It was, I'm almost positive it was a 386 SX33. So it was a 386 IBM 386 processor, 8386, SX meant without the math coprocessor, wasn't a DX. I'm pretty sure I saved the money on the SX. So I think I was able to get a bigger hard drive that way. But I remember spending so much time. I was just out of college. I was in my first job. I was trying to get together the money to do this computer. It was crazy times. But that was around 1991. Ran mostly DOS programs. I did run Windows 3.0, but most of the programs used were DOS programs at the time. So I didn't run Windows most of the time. I could run Windows, but it's like in my autoexec.batch, I didn't run win.exe at the time, because I only ran it when I needed to. It was about a year or so later that I remember I bought, I believe, I'm almost positive it was SimLife. one of the Sim games by Maxis, and I'm almost positive it was Sim Life. And I bought this game, and I couldn't run it because I only had 2 megabytes of memory. And I had to go out and buy, and I bought this game for, I think, $50 and brought it home, and I had read the reviews and I read the magazine articles and I looked at the stuff in the book and everything, and I wanted to play this game so bad. And I realized I only have 2 megabytes of memory. I need 4 megabytes of memory. So I bought a $50 game, and at the time, to get 2 more megabytes of memory for my machine, I think it was like $240. It was somewhere in that ballpark. It was more that, and I think that in fact is the low end. It might have actually been more than that, but I think it was about $240, $250 to buy 2 more megabytes of memory to bring my machine from 2 megabytes to 4. So I to play a $50 game, I spent $250 on memory. And I did enjoy Sim Life. I remember playing it for a pretty good time. Wow. It was right around, I was playing. David James was talking about the Source and CompuServe. I spent most of my time on Genie, which and the science fiction forums, in fact, and which Dave Slusher was on at the same time. We never knowingly crossed each other, but almost undoubtedly we were in the same groups because I remember being there. So, I'm not going to run all the way to the present time, obviously. I'm getting close. That was probably 92 when I bought that memory. And within a year or two after that, and sometime in 93, I would say, that giant, I cannot remember. I'm going to track this down and talk about it in a later episode. That big ass computer magazine that I read almost every issue of. Somebody started talking about Linux because Linux became readily available in 92, 93. And it was late 93 that I remember I drove down. I had heard about this Unix-like operating system, and I drove down to this computer store. I lived in Baltimore, in South Baltimore, between Baltimore and DC, and got a copy of Yggdrasil Linux. It was one of the earlier Linux distributions. And I booted, that was about 1993. So from 1993 to 2003, pretty much every machine I had, dual booted Linux and Windows. Or just booted Linux for that matter. I mean, I had a bunch of machines that only ran Linux, but if you ran Windows, you probably almost certainly also ran Linux. So Yggdrasil was my first Linux distribution. It was, I believe, like November, December 93. Almost positive. And I piddled around with that for a while. And by 94, 95, I'd gone through a period where I was using Slackware, which I did not particularly like, and I ended up in Debian. And to be honest, I still run Debian. I still have a machine that runs Debian. I went through an Ubuntu period. I mean, but that's based on Debian. But I ran Debian machines almost exclusively for years. I went through a period, probably 2007 to 2010, where I was running Ubuntu more than Debian, even though Ubuntu is based on Debian, just because it looked better. But probably 2 or 3 years ago, I went back to the original Debian installs. And for that matter, other than one machine, I mostly run Linux in VMs now, because there's really no downside to it. I'm not usually interested in having direct access to ports or to printers or something like that, so I don't really care. I have one machine that still dual boots in just in case, but I've realized that the base Debian install is actually pretty good now. So I for the past couple of years, I've got one machine that's what it uses is Debian Unstable. Another period, I don't know. Like I said, I knew in 1991 I had that 386 SX. I was never ahead of the curve. I was never at the cutting edge. I consider the bleeding edge ahead of the cutting edge. I was never in that edge on machines and processors and such. I was usually behind things a little bit slow, saving a little bit of money. But when you're running Linux on a lot of your machines, you know, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. I was, you know, there were times where I would have one pretty decent, it was like pre-VM times when I would have one pretty decent, Windows machine in the house. And then I would literally go and buy, there was a Micro Center, I think the place was called in Atlanta, where you could go and just buy just like pieces of crap, PCs for like $60, $50, $60, $70. This is in late '90s, early 2000s. You buy them for $50, $60, $70, but if you're putting Linux on them and, you know, run them as a mail server or as a your web server or as your dial-up server, whatever. So it was the equivalent of having a bunch of VMs, but the in this instance, this was before VMs were VMs; they were M's. They were non-virtual machines. So I had a network of flat-out real machines living in my house during the late '90s and early 2000s before everything kind of started to migrate to VMs. So that's kind of, I just thought I would, use that opportunity to Dave Jacobs here. I was running and listening to his story and I really enjoyed it. And I thought, I'm like, it's very similar. Like I know Dave Slusher has had close to similar to, you know, his kind of arc has been similar as well. Not everybody's the same, but we're especially for those of us that are within an age of each other. I know Dave and I are like Dave Slusher and I are within less than a year of each other in age. So and that certainly helps when you're in that age. Because we were kind of there was a critical kind of phase change in how computers worked. You know, with you dealt with computers very differently when you were 15 in, you know, 1982 versus when you were 15 in 1992. I mean, that's only a 10-year period, but the way you dealt with computers was completely different, and completely different again. You know, in 2002 and in 2012. I mean, every 10 years, it's like 10 years in a sense is not a huge amount of time, but how you've dealt with computers changes immeasurably in those periods, especially starting in about 19, probably even in 72. So I thought I would, David Jacobs on discussion about it. It really, made me decide to just kind of ramble about it for a little while. So I have done that and, it's about done. So I got to get this thing out before midnight. I got a little bit of time. I got an hour and 15 minutes. All's well. So this has been, Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. You can find it at kenzoid.com. My email address, if you want to send me an email, is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. My Twitter address is kenzoid. Facebook is facebook.com/ken.kennedy. Instagram is Ken Kennedy. Just put up an Instagram post a little while ago of our dogs. So if you like pets, I do a lot of pets, do a lot of food and beer. Love pets, food, and beer. If you like any or all of those, feel free to subscribe. Shockey subscribes. Mental Moment, I get a lot of likes from him, and I appreciate it. I have a number of other social things, and they're all on kenzoid.com. If you look there, there are links to stuff. So the podcast is Creative Commons licensed, attribution, share alike, version 3.0, non-ported. Ugh. Excuse me. I have run out of something to drink, and my throat is definitely getting sore, but it's all good. So, because I'm done. So I will talk to everybody tomorrow, and see you later. Thanks a lot.